you would, turn to the book of Isaiah once again. We've read this verse each Sunday night while we've been in this series of messages. Isaiah chapter 9, verses number 6 and 7. And we want to once again read these two verses and then some other things along this line tonight. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, I like that last statement in that verse number 7. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You can be assured that what God says here in these verses, that the Lord's going to perform that. God's going to take everything out of His Word that He's given to us as a promise, and He will perform that. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We've also read, I think, just about every Sunday night while we've been in this series, Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Wherefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want us to think tonight, this is the fourth out of the series that we'll be having, probably five different messages on this one verse. Tonight we're speaking on the everlasting Father, the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ, He the Son of God, yet He was born, a child is born, a son's given. And we see these things that we've found about Him. We've entitled the series, His Name Shall Be Called. And I'm glad there's many multitudes of names that we could take tonight, and we can run the scriptures, and you could find that the name of God, the name of the Lord, has a multiple of names. And we find that it's not only Emmanuel, but we find His name is Holy. And so many things that we could look to, but we've primarily been right here in this verse and noticing what the Lord says about the Son of God, this child that was born, a son that was given, and then His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and then tonight, the Everlasting Father. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life that the Lord gives, which is because He is the Everlasting Father. We notice first of all that the Wonderful Counselor. Oh, I'm glad tonight He's my Counselor. He's my wonderful Savior, the Son of God. He's wonderful to me in that He has done so many things for me. And all the problems of life are taken care of because He's wonderful. Then we found that He's a Counselor. And that takes care of all of our decisions. If we'll look to the Lord, if we'll look to God, if we'll seek His face in every detail of life, we'll find that every decision that we have to make, He can be our counselor, He can be our guide, He'll be our strength, and He'll show us which way to go. Then last Sunday, we noticed He's the Mighty God. Oh, I'm glad tonight that my Savior, He is the Mighty God. He is the One that is the Almighty forever and forever. Then tonight, the Everlasting Father, that the Son of God would be called the Father. That's a strange statement here. He's a son. And the Bible says here, a child's born, a son given, and His name is the Everlasting Father. And we're going to find tonight that here, this Everlasting Father, we see this mystery being brought together, and it shows His equality with God. It literally shows His deity, in that He was a human, yes, He was the Son of God, yet, but also being in eternity, the Everlasting Father. From the beginning to the ending, from all the worlds without end, He is God. The Jewish word Father means originator of, or it means the author of. And I'm glad tonight I find that Jesus Christ is the author of my salvation. He's the finisher of my salvation. He is my completer. He is the one that gives me everything that I need in order to make me a complete, whole individual here in this world that God's given us time to live. So many people tonight are not whole. They're not complete. And it's because they have never come in contact and never had an encounter with the Son of God, which is the Everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that Jesus is my originator of eternity. He is the one from the beginning, and in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He said, let us make man in our image. God speaking to himself and speaking to the Godhead. And Jesus Christ is right there at creation and shows forth that he is the everlasting Father. Now, the human mind, hard to grasp that. Amen. You get to talking about the Trinity and talking about that the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're three different persons, but yet they're one. And you get to the human mind just cannot grasp that. We'll not be able to understand all of that until we get to heaven. But I'm glad in the fullness of the Godhead, we have everything in this that God has given for us, that we can have salvation through his name. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no ending. Man is eternal, but he has a beginning. We're different than God. We're not little gods. Doesn't matter what the different cults tell you. You don't become a little god. You don't become a person that becomes a god. We have a beginning. We have no ending, but God had no beginning. He just was in the beginning. God, that takes care of all the questions about eternity and God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, 11, in 6 days God made all that there was to be made and all that is in them, that God created that. And so we find that God's eternal. Man has a beginning, but he has no ending. And we're going to live. God has given us an eternal soul. He breathed upon us and breathed upon man. Breathed within him the breath of life, and I put that breath of life, that soul on him, and he became a living soul, never, never, never to die. Amen. We are eternal beings, and so therefore we better get ready for eternity. Amen. That's why we have to prepare for eternity. That's why we better not just be interested in time, because time passes away. Uh-huh. Time is here and then it's gone. I believe as Job says, his days were swifter than a weaver's shuttle. James says our days are like the steam that comes and it vanishes away. We're here and it's gone, and all of a sudden time disappears. And that's why we have to, as individuals, oh yes, we have a beginning, but we do not have an ending, because we're going to live somewhere eternally, either with God or without God. And so therefore we must get ready for eternity. In eternity, as a child of God, our residence will be in that beautiful mansion that we sung about just a moment ago. Thank God I have a residence. My home is in heaven. My address, whatever it might be, is there. Whatever number's on my room, it's there for me, because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so God has, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone to prepare us a place, a mansion, and we have to prepare to occupy that. That's the main thrust of every service. That's the main thrust of everything we do, is that people would prepare to meet God, because one day they're going to stand before God. They're either going to stand or they're going to bow, but every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're going to confess that. And so tonight I want us to think about the eternity that we have, because he is the everlasting Father. I find in the book of the Revelation there's some things going to happen when we get to eternity. In Revelation chapter number 21, I almost really wanted to preach on that this morning, but God changed some things around. Revelation chapter 21, and we find some things here about eternity. Not only will our residence be in the mansions that God's prepared for us, but thank God there's going to be a removal of our memories. We're not going to remember everything that's happened. Look in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 4 and verse number 5. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, thank God, the former things are passed away. They're over with. The Bible says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these are the words are faithful, true and faithful. Now you find there in verse number 4, I've told you this probably before. Have it written out here on the flyleaf of my Bible. But this word crying, that's the last time that you ever hear crying anymore in the Word of God. That's the last time that word is used. Thank God one day crying is going to be done away with. Probably, I guarantee you, some folks have shed tears even this day. I know I have. My Lord got on me this morning. I wept. I thank God for tears. But there's a day coming when God's going to wipe those tears away. There's a day coming, he's going to remove those, and they're not going to be there, because the former things, we're living in the former things right now. We have the former things this hour, today, and I'm not too crazy about these things. I'm not too crazy about the activities of the world. I'm not too crazy about what's going on in the world. I don't like that, all the sickness and sorrow and suffering and pain and anguish that's going on in the world. But thank God, one day the former things are going to be passed away. They're going to be gone. They're going to be removed even from our memory, because you're going to wipe all tears away. Crying is no more. Not going to be there. Not only are we going to have the removal of our memory, but we're going to have the reign of our Master. Well, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus is going to reign one day. Jesus is going to have rulership and reigning over this world. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty." I like that term. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." Oh, I'm glad we're going to a place. No more sun, no more moon, no more star. Don't have to have that, because of the very glory of God and of the Lamb, the Son of God, that was slain before the foundation of this world, that we might have life. The glory of God is going to brighten up heaven. And where He is and where we are, there's joy and there's peace and satisfaction in Him. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Son of God. The requirements in order to go to that place, the requirements to go there, is nothing more than be blood bought. Just simply by the blood. No other way than the blood sprinkled way of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can find and we know that since we have a beginning but we have no ending, that human beings such as you and I, we have been made for eternity. We're made for that. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. If you would, look with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 11. I'll give you time to find that. I have those verses written out before me, but I'll give you time. I want you to turn there. The book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter number 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, "He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Now, that word "world" there is an interesting word. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you ought to go home and just look up that word and find out the root word of that. And you know what it means? It talks about eternity. It talks about the world without end. And I'm glad God has made us to go to a world without end. What world are we going to? We're going to heaven or we're going to hell, but we're going somewhere. We're going to a world that has no end. Just as heaven is real, and just as heaven is eternal, just as that, so is hell. It's a world without end, and it's going to be there forever and forever. And men and women, boys and girls, are going to go to heaven or hell, one of the two places. There's no in-between ground. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no floating. When a person dies, they've made their destiny. They don't do it after they die. When a person dies, their destiny is already charted and scheduled by their life, what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. You be a hater of God, you be a rejecter of God, you be a mocker of God, one day God will mock you and God will say, "I never knew you." And we find that man is made for eternity. The world without end, one day we're going there. Man is dissatisfied with life. All you got to do is just do a little bit of visitation. You'll find that men are dissatisfied with life. They don't like what they have, they don't like what they've got. They don't like what they're doing. They're just so dissatisfied. But I'm glad, thank God, I have satisfaction in the Son of God, the everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can be satisfied in Him because He's the supplier. He's the one that upholds me and gives me life. And so we find that we have been made for eternity. Where are we going to spend eternity? We've been made for that place that is yet out before us that we do not know a whole lot about. Man can't think in eternal ways. Man is bound by time. Every one of us have a watch or a clock or something. And when my watch is broke, I tell you, I look at the freckles on my arm 100 times a day. And I just look down and there's nothing there. You know why? Because we are beings of time. We are bound by it. We've got a time to get up. We've got a time we've got to go do this. We've got a time we've got to do that. And this other time and that time, we hustle and bustle and we hurry and worry because we're running behind time. I'm glad there's one day coming, no more time. Why? Because we're in eternity. Just as there's no more time for the believer, there's no more time for the unbeliever. Well, I've come to a realization just recently that everything that the believer has, so does the unbeliever have, but yet it's in hell. The believer has no more time to worry. It's all been taken care of, but the unbeliever has no more time, and it's just worry and trouble and sorrow and heartache and pain and anguish and fire and hell. God's given that in His Word that we might know that. And the only way we can have satisfaction of life is to have the completer of life, and He's the Lord. The completer. Man knows that there's something more than this life. You can go to the darkest continents of this world, and they still know that there's something other than who they are. They may not know who to worship. They may not know how to worship, but they worship. I'm sure that our brother that go into the Indians, they have the things that they worship. But it's not the living God. It's not the true God. I think of missionaries that go across this world into the different far corners and the regions of the damned and the regions of the world that have not the gospel. They still find men that worship, but yet they know not what they worship. Amen. Their gods have ears that cannot hear. They have hands that cannot work. They have feet and legs that cannot move and cannot walk. They have mouths that cannot talk and eyes that cannot see, but yet they worship. We worship a God that knows all. That's why we're duty-bound to and a responsibility that we are to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. Time's not enough. Men die. Oh, they're dying. And it's been said that men die with so much left undone. How true that is. I've heard good people, good men say, if I just knew 30 years ago what I know now, how much more I could have accomplished. But you see, God has given us time. God gives us opportunity. God gives, the Bible says, Solomon wrote, man, all men have the same time and chance or opportunity. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that opportunity that comes before us? That's what we were speaking of this morning, even in our Sunday school lesson. There came a day when eternity invaded time, when Jesus Christ was born. I'm glad to thank God He came. Amen. He came. That which was eternal came and took upon Himself the form of a man. And He was bound by flesh and He was bound by time. There that day God came in the flesh through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1, it says that which was from the beginning, verse 1, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, and the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. It was manifest to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Son of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 3, verily I say unto you, except a man be converted, ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, and He said, if you be just like a child, then you enter heaven. What a joy it is to know that salvation is not something that you have to have catechism to learn. You don't have to have classes to get so smart in that, but salvation, just come as a little child and you'll be saved. Or if we'd just be like a little child. Just to be like a little boy or a little girl that comes just trusting because you've told them the truth. And they believe you, they trust you, and they take the Word of God and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't tell me little boys and girls are not affected by this Word. They are. They are affected. They do have the work of God in their heart, and they're much easier to reach than some of us. Man that lives his life, lives in sin, hates God, hates His Word, he's far harder to get a hold of than a little old tow-headed boy out here playing with frogs and squirrels and mice and all that. They're a lot harder to get a hold of. The scorpions and lizards and found a lizard in church a while ago. I thought Thayla was going to die. She took off. She didn't want no part of that. But you find, you see here, just to become as a little child. That's one of the greatest things that the Lord could have said about children. I mean, He took that which we want to push aside, and His disciples said, don't bother Him. He don't want to have anything to do with you. And Jesus rebuked His disciples and said, unless you come like those little children, you're going to perish. So we better realize that eternity is made, and we're made for eternity. We're going to eternity. We don't know when, but we're on our journey to eternity. We're on our way. Some of us will get there before others, but we're all going there. Some of us will make our journey, and our journey will end at a appointed time that God knows about, and we'll be in eternity. It comes very slowly to some people. They linger and have sickness and troubles and dying every day, but yet they have an appointment with death one day. And they're going to keep that appointment. We have an appointment with the eye doctor and we break it. We have an appointment to the dentist and we surely want to break that. Oh, I don't like people fooling around my mouth. Whew. And that I just don't like that. We try to put that off. You have an appointment to the doctor and you're afraid of what he's going to tell you, so you say, I'll go next week. We put that appointment off. But there's an appointment coming we're not going to put off. There's a day coming. There's an appointment coming that we're going to face God and we're going to face death.
Amen.
And we're going to be in eternity. Some reach it as 70 years old. Some make it to 90. Some maybe to 100. Some in the 50s, 40s, 30s. Some in the 20s. Some even as teenagers. Some as small children. But they have an appointment with eternity. And that's why we that have a mind, that's why we that have an intellect, a will, that's why it's so very important that we prepare for that day that we're going to go to eternity. You see, one day eternity invaded time, and one day time's going to invade eternity. We are the time beings, and we're going to go there. We're going to have a place. We're going to be there. Time and eternity, thank God they met at Calvary. It's taken care of. I can't get off of Calvary. Preached on it Wednesday night, preached on it this morning, and I'm touching it again tonight. But folks, everything revolves around Calvary.
Amen.
If it's not for Calvary, if it wasn't for Calvary, we'd waste our time being here tonight.
Amen.
Time and eternity met at Calvary, and thank God eternity won. Oh, thank God Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." And there with that loud voice, he gave up the ghost, said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He dismissed his own spirit. He gave up the ghost. He departed that life of in this body for 3 days and three nights. Thank God one day he came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. We have victory today because of the resurrection of our Savior, the everlasting Father. He gives eternal salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation." We have eternal Lord, eternal life, eternal salvation because of the Son of God. It says the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Who has eternal life? Who has eternal salvation? It's those that obey him. Those that come to him by faith, trusting and believing in the Son of God. So we find that eternity is made. Man was made for eternity. Eternity has come together with time. But we find that the life of eternity is waiting for each of us. Most people are excited about living, but they don't know how to live. Most people, they think everything is going well, and then they find out nothing's well at all. Most people living their life and doing what they want to do and never giving God one thought, one idea of time. Not one moment of their time, but yet all of a sudden God shakes them and makes them know that they're headed for eternity. He is the everlasting Father that has control of that. And there's many, many people today that are living, but they don't know how to live. They're breathing, they're moving beings, but they really don't know anything about life itself. Because for to live is Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Gain, to die, we have the gain of the Lord. Many people spend time, many people waste time. But we need to invest time. We need to have some things invested in eternity. More to it than just what we're going through. If it's not, we're wasting time. If there's not more to this thing of living than what most people are doing, then we'd be better off dead.
Amen.
If there's not more to it than getting up and going to work and coming home and going to sleep and getting up and going to work, if there's not more to it than that, if there's not more to it than traveling all across this country trying to get churches to support you, then we ought to give it up. But there is more to it. There's eternity awaiting. There's blessings. There's glory. There's joys awaiting us. Being faithful to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus is in control. He's in control of time. He takes care of time. He does that. The Bible says, "My time is in the Lord's hand." Thank God it is. Is yours? Is your time, is your life in the hand of the Lord? Jesus, the framer of all ages, he's the one that wants to save us and make us new and whole, complete creatures. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, "And God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." And that word "made the world" just simply means He framed the ages. He took care of it. He framed it. Everything is just exactly the way the Lord had it to be. He's the framer. He's the creator. He's the everlasting Father. The Bible tells us We need to pray to Him. When we pray, I believe we get a hold of eternity. We get a hold of that one that is eternal. He's not there that we cannot reach Him, but thank God He's there and He can be touched. He can be called upon, and He will answer us according to His riches. Time has many weapons upon people, and it uses it very, very effectively. The first weapon I want to think about is this thing of delay. People say, well, I'll get saved later. But later never does come. That's just like tomorrow. Do you ever think about it? Tomorrow never does come? Because when you get to today, you're talking about tomorrow. And you get to that day, you're talking about tomorrow. And we delay, we put off. People say, well, I'll get saved when I feel like it. No, you'll get saved when the Spirit of God works upon your heart. People say, well, I'll get saved when I get ready. No, you'll get saved when God speaks to you and you call upon His name. People say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll just put it off. I want to sow my wild oats. I've heard people say that. Young people say, well, I want to sow a few more wild oats. Just be ready, that wild oat harvest will come up. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the only thing wrong and problem with that philosophy is it's just ungodly, it's wrong, it's sinful. So we need to realize that one of the enemies that time has upon mankind is that time wants us to delay and put off. When God says now is the day, today is the accepted time. This is the appointed time. Another weapon that time uses on people is decay. You realize every one of us are decaying? We're dying creatures. We're not as healthy as we were a year ago. Oh, we may think we are, but there's things going on that we don't even realize, but we're running down. Even the philosophy of evolution looks like anybody would understand that's wrong. Evolution says things have worked themselves up from the bottom to the top, and things are progressively getting better. Wonder why we wear out. If that's the case, wonder why you have to put in new compressors and air conditioners. Why don't it just better itself? If that be the case, why do you have to work on things? Why do you have to paint your house? Why do you have to repair and work and work and work? Why? Because things are running down. They're decaying. Man is decaying along with it. But time says, oh, don't worry about the change. It'll be all right. Your eyes become weakened and you can't see like you used to. And time says, that's all right. You can get you some glasses and everything will be all right. I wish I could throw these things away. And then if those don't work, and get you some little things you stick in your eyeball and those contacts, and you suffer with them a while. You know why all that happens? Decay. Amen. Running down. Destroying. Oh, I know youth, they're in the prime of their life and they're strong and muscular, but there's one day when those muscles will be weak. There's one day they won't be able to work like they were. There's one day they won't be able to go like they've been able to go. Why? We're wearing down. We're wearing out. We're decaying. And time is against every one of us in that area. A lot of folks this year have had special birthdays. We wear down. We wear out. We get tired. Well, I know some people be sure we'll be glad this year's over, because next year's another person's year. But we get older and we just don't feel like we used to. Brother Jim, can you do what you used to do?
No.
No. No, sir. Brother Ben, can you?
Almost.
She says, yeah. He says, almost. And we wear out. We wear down. Things just don't work like they used to work. Brother Rutherford was talking this morning about having to drive back and forth and up 18, 20 hours and then having to get up to preach, and it becomes wearisome and tiresome. Years ago, it didn't bother. Time's against us, folks. Time is decaying us. Time is wearing us down. Time is destroying us. But time says, put it off. And then the last thing that time does to us that we don't even realize, one day death comes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, talking about decay, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, we've got something ahead of us that's eternal. The thing. Death is our agency to get us out of this world into a better world. We've got a place to go. It's heaven. A mansion waiting us, as we've seen already. But to the unbeliever, they have an appointment also with that same man that comes along, death. The same thing will happen to the believer as the unbeliever. He'll take his last breath. He'll think his last thought. As far as this world is considered, he'll walk his last mile. He'll eat his last supper. He'll do all those things the last time, just like the believer. But he'll not be able to say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" Because death will have grabbed him and taken him to a devil's hell, simply because he would not believe in the everlasting Father, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and upon his shoulders shall be the increase of his government. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him as Wonderful? Do you know him as a Counselor? Do you recognize him as the Mighty God? Do you know him as the Everlasting Father and the soon coming, thank God, Prince of Peace? Do you know him tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't, then you ought to come. You ought to just trust the Lord. If you're not saved, if you've never come to realize and know your sinful condition, you're going to die and go to hell one day if you don't come to him. Time one day will grab you. And he'll say, "Oh, put it off. It'll be all right." The devil comes along and says, "You got plenty of time." And then time marches onward. Doesn't stop. March stops for no man. And you'll begin to decay. You'll begin to run down. And all of a sudden, you won't be able to do what you used to do and say, "Boy, there's something wrong." And then all of a sudden, one day, death will grab you and it'll be over. See, death does the same thing for us. It puts us in eternity. With God or without God, but we go to eternity. Tonight, do you know him? Child of God, you that are saved, we know him. Do we really trust him? Do we really put our faith and trust in our daily activities that he would see us through? May God use us. May God help us to look to the everlasting Father. To look to him, to know that he has everything in control. Thank God he does. If he didn't, we'd be in a terrible condition tonight. This old world's about ready to take off. And I know who's at the throttle. I know who's in control. And it's the everlasting Father. Let's stand tonight. As we prepare for a song of invitation, I think about that verse of Scripture that we must become as little children. Just a little child. So free, so able, so willing to say yes unto the Lord. There's where we've got to find ourselves. Little old Josh come up this morning. Broke my heart. He said, I said, "Josh, what are you coming up here for?" And he said, "I just want to pray that the Lord save my mama and daddy." Amen. I believe God hears prayer like that. Amen. His mom and daddy sitting right back there. Well, we need to pray that God would speak to people and we'd be like a little child. Well, that little old red-headed boy, he's down here praying. You know what he believes? He believes God's going to save his mom and daddy. He just has faith. He just believes it. And that's what the Bible says. We just have to have faith like a little child. Isn't that a blessed thought? Isn't that wonderful? Just to realize that we can come to him in faith, knowing that he will hear our cry. My Father, tonight, Lord, thank you for the blessings of the Word of God and how it speaks to our heart. And Lord, I do pray for Josh, his mom, and his dad. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Lord, we realize that what men might say would be of no avail. But dear Lord, I don't believe you can get away from a service like we had this morning. The Spirit of God dealing and working with people. Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit of God dealt with that young couple, made them realize their need of a Savior. Oh, God, may we see fruition of that. May we see a salvation of souls because of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. And dear Father, tonight, there may be someone in this crowd tonight that just needs to be saved. Oh, they may be church members. They may have all the things of this world, but Lord, they don't have you. Lord, to not have you is to not have life. And Father, I pray tonight that whatever the needs are, my Father, you'll supply that and you'll satisfy every one of us today. Lord, thank you for the good singing and thank you for liberty to be able to preach. Now, Lord, I pray in this invitation that the Holy Spirit of God might walk up and down these aisles and upon the hearts of this people. And Lord, whatever it is you'd have to be done, may it be accomplished because of the grace of God working in us. Bless our folks and help us, Lord, to be a faithful witness to you. For you to folks around us. Help us, God, to get the gospel to the far corners of this world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?
401.
Page number 401 tonight. If the Lord Jesus has spoken to your heart, you better listen because He is the everlasting Father. He's the one that created the world and everything that's in them, everything. God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you listen to Him? Would you follow Him? Would you do what He says? As we sing. Only trust Him. Save you, He will save you. When? Now.